Hey guys, welcome to another Crypto Sparta podcast episode.
It's July, or no, it's August. We've reached August the 4th.
We're a little displaced, but we got the Crypto
Just
Sparta icon logo, and Brian has got his Twin Cities apparel. We're repping that. I think he's going to start a podcast with Smitty about the Timberwolves. So if you're interested in that,
basketball season coming up.
yeah, hit us up. But when it comes to crypto for the markets,
It's kind of been sideways. We've been kind of highlight for ETH has been kind of hovering around 1660. It's up right now, but it's been kind of up and down with around 1600. And then Bitcoin was hovering around down a little downtrend, but around like 2300.
I just gotta say though, I feel like the sentiment is that
It's pretty depressing.
people, well, it's both, it's two things.
I
It's
think people
depressing, but
lost
people are like,
interest.
when moon? They're like, there's gonna be some blow off top. Like, it's kind of like been like down a, up a bit more, higher lows, right? Like, we talk about higher highs, higher lows, lower lows, and higher highs.
I mean, yeah, ETH has like slowly gone up. You know, we talked about it last week from like 1200. And now it's like at 1600, so that, and it's kind of been hovering around. So it's like slowly going up by the merge. So it's like some people are like
But
second
like I feel
guessing.
like when
People are shorting too, like in
it
the market.
dropped to below 1,000, people thought to zero.
Yeah, people thought it was gonna, I thought it was gonna go lower, like 700 maybe. So that's why I was
Well,
like,
people were saying like previous cycles where it's like, what do you do if you have 3,000 Bitcoin? Like, will 3,000 Bitcoin ever exist? I think that if it did, it would have to happen in like a very futuristic sense
like
where
going all the way down to three.
it would like go up before it went down.
Yeah.
Like, to go either all of crypto dies or something happens where Bitcoin is cast
I
aside.
think there's enough institutional like money out there that it would just, it wouldn't go to zero. Like
And I
people would
mean,
still hold it where it'd just be like a base level of like maybe 10,000, where it's like a lot of people are just holding it, like big players are just holding a bunch.
We're like skipping around on our news, and like the thing that I was gonna say though was that BlackRock has now given access to their clients
With
for staking with
Coinbase, yeah.
Coinbase. And what you realize that I think is interesting, where retail is such a fraction of the world, and you start feeling like a small boat on a big ocean, and there are whales around, where BlackRock, when they offer that, they're selling it.
Yeah.
There's institutions purchasing the coins, and it's always like a meme, like, oh yeah, the institutions are buying your coins. Like, no, it is happening. Retail right now is bleeding, and it's a fraction. I would say in the macro, it just looks like the world stuff is going to get worse, but you feel like there's now some secret hand, and that's the scary thing about Bitcoin. Who's behind whatever holds the, those like levels of 20,000, 18,888 or whatever? And
Yeah, there's
if
got to be like a secret Telegram group chat
you
of
look
like
of like Deutsche Bank, yeah, the,
top 20 like Bitcoin holders, and like,
I'm waiting for the Netflix documentary.
yeah, we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
But you know, as of right now, it's just higher lows, but like we're still going sideways. Yeah, like Daniel said, the macro is kind of like pretty bad for crypto and just in the world in general. Like, you know, a lot of countries are now reneging on like being a crypto holder.
Portugal, I went to Lisbon because it was so
Yeah,
crypto
they
friendly.
had what, the Soul Conference with the, yeah, the Soul
Yeah, and
Conference.
now what we're starting to see is, I think that in the macro,
They're not so pro crypto
and
because people are losing their money and they can't afford to live.
if you're not taxing people, there was some news recently about how, I think it was in the New York Times, where Mexico, there were people saying that they were upset with people from the United States working remote in Mexico.
Like going to Tulum.
It wasn't even Tulum. Like it was Mexico City, some neighborhood where it was like gentrification in Mexico.
Yeah, yeah.
And there was a meme of, I always love memes. It's a Palpatine in a
Star like, Wars
from the first three episodes. Where, ironic. And yeah. No, I mean, I don't need to get into that, but it's like people are really clamping down now that things aren't so blossomy. I think that there's a lot of like, it looks like the IRS, the macro for the US is that the recent bill, the Inflation Reduction Act, will, a lot of it will be targeted on crypto compliance as well as small businesses. There'll be a lot more audits. And then what they've said is true, that the average cost to be able to litigate like a billionaire. We're looking at this stuff in cryptolegal.com. I would say that everybody, I believe that our social media is up in cryptolegal.com is what we're launching. But there's a lot of people that have questions about taxes. There's a lot of governments and people fighting about money. There's a lot of macro issues, and it appears to get worse. Ethereum
and a security, like, what are the, I mean, like, they're trying to set examples, and right now, I don't know, with the macro, I think crypto legislation might be not the biggest issue in Congress right now.
I just think it's a threat to the market.
Yeah.
And regulation is always, like, a constant boogeyman. And then also, you know, the Nancy Pelosi, like Pelosi going to Taiwan, that gave everybody a scare.
Yeah, especially, I mean, there was a funny meme where it was like your parents in their 20s, they got a nice house. And then us in our 20s, we're watching flight paths to Taiwan, like weather. And apparently, like, you know, Taiwan, Chinese tensions and big deal with Nancy Pelosi going to Taiwan when China is trying to.
The memes were great. Know, they were like, hey, man, like, we're Americans. Like, Nancy Pelosi can check on her inside trading partners.
No, it's like
she had millions of dollars invested in the chip makers in Taiwan before the CHIPS Act.
Yeah, apparently that's in the inflation bill now, where it's like, we're going to start making our own semiconductors. But it's funny because
yeah, we have notes on all of this stuff, honestly, where there's another the macro is going to really impact crypto. And as we feel like small minnows in retail, we're next to whales, like the whales are on the waves of much larger oceans, and the boats on top of those are Nancy Pelosi and Congress.
That's how you know, or it's like, you don't know until John or like Nancy Pelosi's husband starts bidding like Roblox or like something. That's how you know what's up.
Although I say, I heard some conspiracy theories that it was a psyop where Pelosi and them were like, hey, there's too much heat. Like, take a loss on the chips, yeah. like throw them off the scent, like red herring, you know what I mean? And like they were saying also, shout out to Breaking Points, Crystal and Sagar. I really like what they do in terms of like media and politics, and they're like independent. And what they had looked into was the fact that the insider trading that Nancy Pelosi is like the main figurehead is, how do you get to be a multi-hundred millionaire as like a government employee? And then statistically, they've been like tracking her.
Yeah.
On Twitter.
I mean, she
literally is like either she's a, like the luckiest trader in the world, or she's a genius, or she's been like.
Like, I'm all for banning, you know, stock or stock trading for
what I had heard from Breaking Points was that
her husband.
No. What's going to happen is that they've passed this thing through to get the heat off of them, but they're still going to. If you've seen Wolf of Wall Street, they got rat holes. They got people. If it's not her, it's her husband. It's not her husband. It's that second cousin down the street, or like the person you treat like family.
Yeah, there was a funny meme like last week or 2 weeks ago where they lined up
Oh, there's a, yeah.
They lined up the Chappelle Show act, some Chappelle Show sketch from back in the day, back when he had that Comedy Central show, and then Nancy Pelosi getting asked if her husband ever insided trading. And it was literally like,
you guys gotta watch this. Put it up. Put it up. Yeah.
What do you say? Over the course of your career, stock purchase or sale based on information you received.
No, absolutely not.
So the context is Nancy Pelosi gets asked a question about insider trading.
If her husband ever like bought stocks.
She just walks away. Like, I mean,
she's like, what?
No way. And
that's the same question where, like,
in Chappelle Show, yeah. And it's all over on Twitter that, like, you guys can check it out and stuff, but.
But, yeah, so the macro is not looking pretty for, like, just in general.
But, I mean, now I think we can move on to the main story of the week, basically, which was, like.
Scams.
Yeah.
Like, we talked about
and that was, like,
time.
What a lot of the news was happening, but.
Two more, like, we talk about how this has been a bear market for scams, like. Two really big ones where I think the Nomad hack or the Nomad Bridge hack was like one of the largest in crypto, where it was basically, you know, like someone had this really like not the great.
It wasn't
code.
Elegant, but they figured out a way to hack. And then it was to do draining of the bridge a bit by bit at a time. And then it was made public.
So the actually the code people were able to copy and paste, you know, the code and just add the amount that they wanted, and they could drain the bridge that amount. And people started knowing this on the blockchain because you had these random ETH addresses, and then you know there was Kobe had a tweet where it's like, oh, access the hack the bridge and send it to ledger.eth.
So a lot of it did, well, you didn't, no, not a lot, but some got given back. There were some white hats.
But,
so the idea is that some people hacked it on purpose while other people were hacking it to try to recover some of the money, and they gave it back, but in the promise of
random people that just copy and paste.
Yeah, but there were like, there were memes about it afterwards where, I mean, I don't know. We should go through the Nomad hack before we get to the other hack, but
this is the this
the Nomad hack so was how many million? 180? 300?
169 million.
169 million that were stolen. And it's a bad look, you know. Obviously that like all this gets drained and then the triple watermelon. Who's triple watermelon got eaten? That person is a white hat hacker. That had taken, I believe, how many million?
4 million.
4 million. And there were several people that returned some of the money, but it was around 4 million.
It recovered 16.6 million so far.
Yeah.
I actually don't know the total that was hacked, but it was in the several hundred.
I thought it was
millions.
300 million, but you said 169, but also I thought 180. There are different estimates and different things, but I mean, that
was
a
definitely
really,
over
really, really bad one. And
where people were able to just exploit the code and you didn't even have to like know Solidity or like,
yeah, people were just copy and pasting and then sending themselves money from like the bridge. And then afterwards, like the same day, was this Tuesday?
Yeah, I think Tuesday, where Solana iOS hacks, just phantom hacks from the wallet, and people speculate that it might be insider job because you need the private keys. They're just draining wallets randomly from people, even who like just who just created phantom wallets and transferred their soul to phantom and then didn't even like do another transaction. Like those wallets got drained, and so I think 8,000 wallets were affected. And I think
it was only 4 million, and then it wasn't actually the fault of Solana, but it was a bad look.
No, there's nothing wrong with
the blockchain. And then the Phantom Wallet, like a, exactly, the Phantom Wallet, they were supposed to be like MetaMask. That's kind of like, I feel like, the real story. Yeah. It wasn't that much money. It wasn't as big as Nomad. But I want to show the meme, because, like, I think we're about the memes and we're about Twitter. So this was from Viscosity Solutions, where it was the same day after Nomad, Solana got hacked. And then it's the meme from Lord of the Rings, where it's like, oh, like, first hack, like, what about second exploit?
But the thing is that also, because of the Lord of the Rings thing,
yeah,
because so SBF long, yeah, so, yeah, was talking shit about the Lord of the Rings. Like, someone said, like, oh, you know, unlikely or unpopular
opinion. Unpopular opinion, Lord of the Rings is not that good. Here. And then Solana,
like,
or
he agreed. And this is after, like, he tweeted that, you know, Solana was an underrated coin.
Yeah.
And he kind of was under fire, but then he kind of, like, had to back it up. But, yeah, so...
So, Hisaka Trades, who's, like, he's the white wolf, he's the legend. I don't know why. I don't know. I mean, if you're just around long enough, you kind of are like, this is people look to this trader. Solana exploit hours after Sam shits on the Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
And then it's, like, Gandalf being... Things are now in motion that cannot be undone. Like, it's Lord of the Rings memes, and maybe he provoked the sort of the Lord of the Rings, you know?
Yeah, I mean, with that new sequel or series, not sequel, but the new TV show that Amazon apparently spent $1 billion on. So maybe, like, that's, he's talking shit about that, but.
But people were, now what happened was people were coming to a legitimate discussion about Solana. What came of it was that Solana, and this is, let's have a sip, you know, and then let's talk about the difference between Solana and Ethereum.
I mean, centralized, basically Solana centralized.
So this is exactly the thing. Let's, like, we can make it a cut for the YouTube clips. The difference between Solana and Ethereum. So Solana, Sam Bankman-Fried is incredibly rich. He's the richest, I believe he's 30 years old now or 31.
He's 29. He's like
under. He's got like 20, 30 billion.
He's already a little younger than us.
He owns FTX, which sponsors the Miami Heat. He also is the main investor in Solana and Alameda.
Kevin Simani.
Mm-hmm. Alameda is him. That's their investment fund. So Sam has a tremendous amount of money, and Solana is basically his private blockchain. Phantom Wallet, it was the MetaMask. MetaMask is for Ethereum. Solana. Exactly. And then there was like some thing that happened, and they were saying, hey, can we check the code to see what happened? Everything on Solana is private. So all the developers, you know, in Ethereum, if it were to happen in Ethereum, there would be people looking over the code and checking over it. But the thing is, Solana is, like, proprietary. And, yeah, I went to the Solana conference in Lisbon. It's private money. It's a private blockchain. And then the big reputation it has is that it goes down a lot. If something goes wrong, they shut it down. And this is actually somewhat an argument for Solana. Apparently, they would have kept draining it, just like Nomad. They only got 4 million, but they were going into people's private wallets, and apparently the hack was through browsers. So it was that something on whatever browser you were using to access your wallet. That was what was compromised.
iOS and Android.
I heard it was an Android thing, or was it Google Chrome? But it had something to do with the browser. It didn't have to do with Solana. But
iOS supply chain attack.
Yeah, people couldn't audit it. No, I don't think that that was true. And what they were saying was that they're wondering if the Chinese do backdoors through anything that's made in China. And so this was I think it's a conspiracy theory. I can't say that it was true. But these are the worries, where if the hardware is made in a country, are they making hardware backdoors? It's not about the software.
That's what they're saying. Like, this is bullish for Solana Phone.
That's what. Yep. That's like, what Kobe said.
Do you think they purposely? No.
Was it Kobe?
No, Z.
It was Z. Yeah.
Zion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes sense where if you can't, it's the same thing that Apple does. If you have proprietary software that the people that give you applications cannot get into, who hacks who? Is it open source? And then this is the argument for Ethereum, where I'm bullish for Ethereum phone, decentralized, where everybody knows what happens. And if something gets hacked, everybody shares in it rather than who's going to be in charge. Yeah. Everything's centralized versus decentralized. Will it be Solana with their Solana phone? Will it be SBF in charge of the world? What happens if something happens?
Yeah, FTX has a very strong, we talked about this last week, but like strong monopoly over crypto market share right now.
And they've got their hands with their strong buying.
It is kind of
dangerous.
Like
it's
to be wary. It's like
what we were talking about last week, where careful who you praise. Like SBF,
well,
Sam Bankman-Fried is at the top of the food chain right
they
now.
They say to make
him
moves.
And CZ are
They say to make moves during the bear market. Like he's making big boy moves. Like you know, making acquisitions. Like by the next bull market. You know, maybe Coinbase is not there and it's just FTX. Like, I could definitely see that.
I mean, but Binance might be bigger than everything.
Well, that's what they're saying, too. Like, people are talking about the macro where Binance is just as is younger than Coinbase.
And they way outperform.
Yeah,
incredible amounts.
Coinbase has to deal with all this regulation. And
that's why we're talking about how the United States is really...
So
this
CZ
is why,
is
check
like,
out Crypto
yeah.
Legal. We'll be starting a podcast about the legalities, but it's a tangled mesh
like,
in the United States.
If you want to compare, like,
go to
Binance
Dubai,
Coinbase, like,
yeah, and CZ is Singapore.
Binance is winning like that battle as far as like better startup or like you know how fast they are growing.
Yeah,
and that's just because of you know MBA or like whatever. Graduates like business graduate school degree where it's like market share, like you know, competition, you know, freedom to operate. Like, you know.
I think though, CZ and SBF, great titans, great characters. We've talked about them a lot. I mean, I've done profiles on them for Crypto Sparta where these people are the people that if you don't know who they are. I think in 20, 30 years, they'll be talked about similar to Jobs and fucking Gates. It'll be, this is the new generation of...
We definitely have that vibe.
Entrepreneur, like, people that will take over the world. CZ, I mean, at his peak was $87 billion at a much younger age.
I mean, there's no...
The leverage stuff that he had. Yeah, I mean, he was in charge of Binance Smart Chain and Binance. And Binance is around the world, and they operate... In the U.S., but mainly outside of the U.S. And the U.S. tried to fight them.
And you see,
but they have
the
rest of the world.
Like,
he's
smart. Like, you can tell, like, this guy.
Yeah, he actually doesn't. Yeah. They're, and same with Sam Bankman-Fried. And this is the Doquan. I didn't see the genius. Suzu sounded smart, but.
I mean, I was fooled by Suzu. I think he's smart.
Daniele Sesta, I think he's just a scam artist.
Doquan was just like. Psych games where it's like I'm just gonna
a lot of the things
aggressive.
Is like you're impressed that they're really smart and then it's like wow they scam the shit out of
you have some expertise in social psychology for real where it's like I think Doquan really took advantage of that where he had that viral moment where this chick was like being like prejudiced toward him. Remember that like
was that the your size is not size?
No, the CoinDesk interview or like where the chick was like asking about operating in the U.S. where and he kind of responded to you know why like regulation or like crypto in the U.S. is very small like part of crypto like why would I want to be in the U.S. And, like, kind of just, like, he got very, I mean, aggressive and kind of, like, aggressive where you back off. And
this
you don't
this touches
him.
On a real random topic that I had read about, though, where he's from South Korea. I visited Seoul. I love the place. It's an incredible city. Great food. Fun people. I went to not Gangnam, but I went to the university area. If someone like, subscribe, we got to do our little like and subscribe. Like yeah, subscribe. Take your hat off a bit. Yeah, yeah.
Our YouTube channel.
Yeah, like and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Crypto Sparta Podcast. We're gonna do a short channel as well. But if you can comment on what the university area is in South Korea, in Seoul, that helps the algorithm. But it was very, very expensive. And then what I've heard is that the South Koreans, the younger people, they have no way to purchase real estate. They have no way to own anything. It's a small country. So in the United States, we have a lot of variety, but in that country, there's the city and then there's the southern part of South Korea. I don't think there's much in the southern part of South Korea. It's kind of like either you're in like the city or not.
Country.
It's not, it's a tiny place. If you look at it on the map, it's a very tiny place. It's a peninsula, the Korean peninsula, and it's split with North Korea. It's very, very densely populated. Dokwon is like a South Korean legend, but everybody over there just gambles stuff, but he's from South Korea.
Yeah, yeah.
And then a lot of the Luna stuff was backed by South Korean entities. There was one entity that was known to lose $3 billion that would have... You end up realizing that the fund had...
The police. Like,
he had the fund had exposure to pension funds. So Luna indirectly was being invested in by old people in Korea.
What was like the Canadian like police force or something, Canadian government, where they invest in crypto?
Yeah, it was also in Luna.
And then it was also in Luna and they got fucked.
Yep. By like a big percentage of their things like pension funds do not invest in things like Luna, where they do invest in things like Luna before it went to zero. But pension funds don't invest in things that go to zero.
Yeah. Or like it's really risky, or they don't even...
They don't take the risk, and everybody thought, because everybody got so greedy that Luna was just...
It reminds me of other guys, where the guy invests the police force pension into like the lottery, and he made a bad investment, so he tried to repay it by like running a lottery scam.
If you've seen Wall Street with Charlie Sheen.
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah.
And then what happens is that there are corporate raiders. It's the same in Yellowstone. And I've been trying to explain to Brian, I love Yellowstone. The idea of this is also what Bain... Yeah, but this is what happened with Bain Capital and Mitt Romney. I don't think Mitt Romney did this work, but the idea of...
He's a raider where it's like merger acquisitions. I'm going to fuck you.
So this is like a... This is like... Yeah, exactly. This is like the quick idea of it from the business school perspective is that the assets of a company are worth more than the company itself. But if you wanted to, over time, take profits, the company could survive. But you can make quicker profits by cannibalizing the company. And so the same thing happens in Yellowstone and also like
Schwartz and Meyer in Yellowstone.
But it's just like if you purchase the company and then you can either do a merger acquisition and then gut out the employee base, or you can like cannibalize it, or you can shelf it. So there's like many ways to cut it up, but basically you have a perfectly good business, but maybe you do the same business and then you fire all the people that you already have. It's like in a Succession where they say, well, the synergies are obvious. If they merged with the company that was the liberal side, they still have the same accounting and legal.
Yeah, yeah.
So then you just cut the accounting and legal. We keep the same teams.
Yeah.
Or you buy a brand and then you gut everybody. And then you just like sell the factories. That happened in Tommy Boy. I mean, we're maybe digressing, and maybe it's time to hit the NFTs because like there's a lot happening in crypto, even though
the thing is that I find fascinating about crypto is that, and you kind of see this with pop, like this is like the one like finance sector that's invaded pop culture, where it's like before crypto, you never saw like what Barstool Finance or TikTok finance influencers. Like you never saw that.
I'm gonna check on the ENS thing.
Yeah, so like you see like, you know, Barstool or like the social media have finance TikToks or like reels of like humor and jokes, you know, as a way to produce content, similar to, you know, using, you know, TikTok and doing all these other humor comedy reels for like, you know, dating or whatever. And so then, you know, you see Barstool like buying up domains. Their Barstool crypto is taken. You can't buy that domain. And it's ENS domain. So, you know, you already see it on your, I don't know, I noticed in my Instagram, you know, algorithm where it's like they got Barstool Finance now. And that's crazy considering, like, you know, that's a job, you know, like stock market, that kind of stuff. And it's actually like invading or, you know, spreading into pop culture. So that's like pretty cool about crypto. You know, we, you know, a couple weeks ago we talked about the, you know, that crypto TikTok song, like got verses, like that's catchy, man. Like it's crazy. And so especially with NFTs, like it's like going into design. You know, this time Tiffany and CryptoPunks, you know, Tiffany & Co., like, you know, the blue box, when your man, you know, gets you that blue box, like, you know, he spent a you know, good deal. They created chains or like, you know, diamond chains of your CryptoPunk to certain holders. And so that partnership is unheard of. Like, you know, it's crazy. And, you know, OpenSea is like expanding. Like they just bought the ENS domain, OpenSea.eth for like 165,000. And that's crazy where it's like, you know, being smart and being early. I know like crypto is like kind of small. It's like you get like the right ETH domain or like, you know, the right crypto worded. Like that could be your make or break where, you know, you got Amazon.eth and they're bidding, you know, trying to acquire it, you know, NBA.eth. Like that guy could have made a ton of money, but he decided to donate it. So it's like pretty crazy where it's like now you have all these corporations trying to get ETH domains. Like who would have thunk? So it's crazy. But what about like?
Yeah, I was just gonna say with the Goblin Town, like it is where I think the NFTs are being with like the real world, and so they're like NFT first brands where Bored Apes. Goblin Town is like burgers. There was the Bored Ape burger people. I think like at the end of the day, NFTs are here to stay. It was just like,
I mean,
you have a community. There's Miladies as well, and
Tiffany
like
Cole. Who would have thought that's a huge jewelry, top of line jewelry.
There's like that's where I wanted to show. There's the Tiffany and the NFT first.
Like Rolex had a domino collection, like these, special edition. Like well, they could easily have a Bored Ape collection.
Some people are trying to do it correctly, and some people aren't. Or some people are doing it successfully, and some people aren't. NFTs and the real world businesses, and then NFTs becoming real world businesses. These are two separate worlds that are converging. A lot of people thought NFTs were just in NFTs. No. Like, there are people going to Ape Fest.
Well, Gucci's accepting ApeCoin. We forgot about that.
Yeah.
And so, it's crazy right now where, you know, we were talking about, you know, business opportunity for Bored Apes. Like, they can make a whole, like, amusement park of Bored Ape, you know, themed rides.
We had talked about Pudgy Penguins. They're going to be doing merchandising. And
yeah,
they're going to be selling.
Hasbro. Yeah, we talked about.
It's going to be just like what it really made me think of was.
Who wouldn't want a plushy penguin stuffed animal?
It's going to make me think of,
your kid's gonna
what is
love
it? Flappy Birds?
Angry Birds.
Angry Birds.
Yeah, where they have the fluffies of the guy, of the,
and you think about it, it's Minions. It's Minions.
And they made a fucking movie.
Yeah, Minions, they've got the plushy toys, Pudgy Penguins has the toys, they had an Angry Flappy Birds toy, they're gonna have Pudgy Penguin games. It's all kind of like blah, 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 whatever, it's IP. These are the next Mickey Mouses, especially
now
got, that...
We got OG Rogues. We got OG Rogues.
The Rogs.
Yeah.
I say Rogs. You say Rogues?
It could be Rogs.
There's the two...
Rogues.
I think the two things that were most memorable with Pudgy Penguins was, I am my penguin, and my penguin is me.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is...
Eggs.
They put rogs in eggs.
In eggs.
They put rods in the eggs. Like,
we
what were they thinking?
And I paid 0.32.
And then they put it on Christmas where it's like, oh yeah, I bought, that was the tweet where I bought my girlfriend an egg that I thought would be cute. I literally thought the same thing. And they
but
were worth hundreds of dollars.
They released like little pudgies right before. And you're like, what?
Cash grab.
I thought the eggs were supposed to be little pudgies.
Cringe. Yeah, exactly. If they had put the little pudgies in the eggs, that would have been perfect.
Game over. But then they made rogs.
And
so
they,
you're like,
yeah.
What the
no,
fuck?
No, no. They put rods in the eggs for the game that they didn't develop.
Yeah.
This is why, at the end of the day, everyone
that's
was like, there's going to be a play-to-earn game where my rods are going to be worth money.
And you need to have all
and there
three.
Was no game. And then they put out the tweet. They said, yeah, enjoy your rods, but they spelt it R-O-G-S on Christmas. Hey, you got a rog. Dude, if it had been Bored Apes, if you get a Bored Ape and then you get a mutant serum, that's fucking $30,000 you just won.
Even
and you're
more
a pudgy
than
penguin.
$30,000, that's six figures. That's like $300,000.
Yeah, and especially if you count then the ApeCoin airdrop, I mean.
Yeah, like Bored Ape, like.
They really fucked it up.
But
the original,
like,
Pudgy Penguin people really...
I'm talking myself... Like, I think we're talking ourselves into, like, the rods, like, being, like, a cult. Like,
it's going
joke.
To be...
It's
going to
be a cult
it's
joke
part of the
in,
culture?
Like, 10 years.
Look,
yeah.
I have crypto...
Yeah, OG rogues.
I have CryptoMeme.com. I got CryptoLegal.com.
Crypto
I had CryptoBarstool.com. I'm trying to get CryptoBarstool.eth. I hope
Dave
Portnoy doesn't find me. No, I'm going to get it before that. I was literally, that's why I got it off.
We're
going to
make CryptoBarstool bigger than Barstool Crypto.
Yeah. The transactions were not going through, though, with the ENS. It was very obnoxious. Like, I think ENS is the Ethereum naming service. Domain naming service is for .coms. The .es are going to be powerful, but I'm trying to get the transactions through.
That should be a clip. Like, clip that. We're going to make Crypto Barstool bigger than Barstool Crypto.
No.
And then
Dave's about to
buy this ENS
from us. Dave, let's talk. Brian and I, we like to... Hey, here's talking to a Big Cat. Shout out.
Yeah, Madison alums.
Yeah, Madison alums.
We only talk to fellow Badgers.
Big Cat, hey, guys.
Make an exception for...
We can be your crypto guys. You got the golf guys, the fishing guys. We're your crypto guys.
We could be your crypto guys.
Yeah. Come by and we'll have a podcast together. Or we can go to Chicago. We're in Minneapolis. We're in St. Paul.
Their office is in New York. They got
Big Cat's in Chicago a lot.
There's Barstool Chicago and then the main one's in New York.
That's fair. We can catch them when they're in the Twin Cities too.
But yeah. You know, yeah, we could be Barstool or Crypto.
We definitely could. I think we fit in. Brian, he's going to start another podcast about the Timberwolves, too.
Yeah, let me guest star on Call Her Daddy.
Yeah, and then Dave, we can talk about Crypto Legal. I got CryptoLegal.com. We're starting the podcast as well. So we've gotten off track and we're shilling. Might as well just jump into the shills.
I think maybe Solana might be underrated
I
coin.
Think, oh my gosh, you kind of read my mind. It's so ridiculous. Are you really going to fade SBF?
Well, but the thing is that nothing happened to the blockchain. It wasn't a blockchain issue.
I know, right?
It's like someone
just
having
it's like access
to the private wallets. It's all a private wallet drain.
So
nothing happened to the
blockchain.
So
when there's
no
bad news, when there's bad news, but it had nothing to do with the chain. It's like the opposite of sell the news. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like buy the bad news. Like, I don't know. Why would you fade SBF?
So Solana right now is, I think, under 40. It is at 40 right now. So
I'll put up a clip. I bet Solana crosses 100 in my lifetime.
That's like not even a bet.
If you take your lifetime,
that Celsius was gonna last 5 years with my uncle.
Yeah,
and that failed.
Oof! Did he? Yeah.
I owe him a dinner to Gervais.
Yeah.
The expensive place.
Where is that?
That one that like Billy has a connect with. Where,
oh, Travai.
Travai. Yeah.
It's French.
French tiny. Mm. That's like $200. So I think I owe him that. But yeah. Don't fade Sandbaven Free and Solana, man.
So you're just chilling Solana?
Yeah, I think Solana might be. ETH, I think I'm looking to acquire some ETH for this merge. I always want 1,000 Chainlink.
I want additional Chainlink.
Yeah. SmartCom was big for them. They announced like this new guy, and then,
Chainlink is.
Oracles, man.
I think that it's like. You really feel like you're just a small boat on an ocean.
Yes.
You think you're smart. Chainlink is smart. The market, we've done a breakdown like what was it like so long ago where I had told you about how they release and dump to be able to pay for their engineers. Yeah,
that's why
the supply is like a quadrillion or something. The amount of coins that there are.
Well, you slowly see the centralized exchanges having lower amounts of Chainlink on their exchange because they need to. So the developers are getting paid in
Chainlink. They pay it out to be able to maintain the oracles. And soon the amount of.
They're going
to
stake. Like once staking is. Like Chainlink is going up. Celsius needs to give me my. You know, 300 Chainlink that's trapped.
I think Sergey Nazarov and Vitalik.
True.
I think exactly. You don't.
He's
have
a
to,
true smart person. Like, listen to him on Lex Freeman, like, and like, follow him on Twitter, man. And he's not like a attention grabber. You see, he only really posts when it's like a really big event. But that
the most incredible smart people. I'd heard that. Stephen Hawking was very charming and had several wives. Neil deGrasse Tyson can talk like a normal person, but he can talk about complex things. Sergey Nazarov.
He's like low-key kind of flirty.
He will explain things to you that are beyond your comprehension in simple manners. And then if you really appreciate it, you realize that this guy
is way smarter than me. The Neuralink executive that got with Elon Musk, Elon probably just talked about
I've been listening to
technology
recently.
And then the rocket, going up the space, and she's like, "Oh my god, damn, that's hot as fuck." So Sergey is probably like oracles.
I feel like this has maybe gone full circle where it's like, dude, like the start of crypto. If you're just starting and seeing this for the first time. The start of crypto is like some ETH, some Chainlink, and some Solana. It's like ETH, and then like the ETH L1.
A poor man's beginner bag. Like you don't even focus on Bitcoin.
No, you're SBF is centralized and ETH is decentralized, and give me Chainlink the Oracle. That's like such a hard, rock solid, like this is just a thesis on the future of. These are like the main leaders. I mean, Chainlink had some competitors banned. Yeah, okay.
Who's their competitor? If you do a market analysis they're failing. Like they don't have the operating power. They don't have the minds. Like they're getting like the best cryptographers from like Stanford and MIT are wanting to go.
And what the Chainlink holders don't realize is that the Chainlink Society still has like 50%, and they're consistently just like the market cap is still high, and they're still dumping tremendous amounts of their private coins. And a lot of it, a lot of it goes to the private investors. Chainlink is financed by the largest corporations. It's been talked about in BlackRock. It's cool because we've done this long enough. We were talking about this years ago.
They have price feeds for like every single major company.
Stocks.
You know, indices. Farming insurance, like that's a big one that in third world countries, like Chainlink is fucking, it's going to be like Terminator, Skynet.
Yeah. Go back to our.
Yeah. So yeah. It's crazy. So yeah. That's our show.
Somebody. Yeah. Ethereum, there, Solana, Chainlink. Yeah. That's like the basic bets.
Yeah. Start acquiring by end of year. Cause you know, Chainlink staking, not financial advice, obviously, but like Chainlink staking is going to be released by the year when ETH, 2.0 merge happens. So it's like those are kind of like simultaneous. So it makes sense to get both. But that's it for this recent episode. I think we're on 50 officially.
Shout out Smithy, our consistent viewer.
So half of
you made. Let's go golfing tomorrow.
Half of half my of 100.
Yeah.
Half of 100. 50 is a big deal. But peace.
Peace.